Welcome now to the midday for a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we're back in our Buck studio today, meaning live music. And today we have, again this year, for the fourth year, we're going to get into that a little bit later, members of the Tallgrass Chamber Music Festival, two of the founders, Anita Graff and Julian Graff, brother and sister team, and their mother, Emily, has been here in previous years, also one of the founders. Welcome back to the midday.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be back. Yeah, we are missing Emily today, but you got me and Anita. I'm the executive director of Tallgrass Chamber Music Festival, and Anita here is the artistic director. And yeah, this is our fourth year coming back. Our first time that we were here was right before our first season. And, you know, time flies so quickly that now we're, you know, going into our fourth season, coming up on our fifth year anniversary. So we're really excited to be back.
All right. So where is this tall grass that you're named after?
This is located about an hour and a half southwest of here in a little town called Potosi, Wisconsin. In Grant County. It's in a lovely area that Wisconsinites might know as the Driftless area. And the festival takes place on a renovated farm. It's concerts are in a barn.
That's a Wisconsin thing.
It is a Wisconsin thing. We're not serving, you know, ice cream yet, but we do have some cattle outside of the barn. We have some
so you're gonna start on the ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, we have some Longhorn Texas cattle just off of the drive by the barn, courtesy of a neighbor. So yeah, we're going into our fourth season. It's in Potosi. If anyone would like to check it out, our website is tallgrassfestival.org. We have a bunch of information about the upcoming season. We do jazz, classical. This year we're celebrating, we're partaking in the celebrations of the birthday of America. And Anita will talk about a little bit of that programming coming up.
As we come along. And all right, so you're swapping off some instruments back and forth today. Is that what you mean? Because last time I saw you, you were playing the cello, Julian.
close to it. It was a viola, but it's about the size that some might mistake it for a small cello. But yeah, today I am doing violin duty.
Julian wears a lot of different hats at our festival as the executive and creative director. Some days we're like, we need you to play violin. Wait, no, we need you to play viola. Wait, we need you to hammer something on the barn. So it's good to have a jack of all trades at the helm.
I always worry about those thumbs, though, when you start talking about hammers, unless it's a piano.
He's pretty indestructible, lucky for us.
Well, it is to look forward to your festival. And before I forget, I should mention that you can find this information on our website, which is midday at WPR, the link to your website, and that would be true of most of our performers also. So you can find out more very quickly that way. See some pictures, too, and neat stuff like that, and some, if not all, of the music. So, Igor Stravinsky, what a fun thing to start with.
We always try to bring some music to the midday that kind of encapsulates what we do at Tallgrass with our chamber music, which is that we love to program the classics and things that you know and love. We also love to program music from underrepresented composers. We have a heavy emphasis on new music. And I just plain love obscure pieces and things that you may not have heard before. I know that Suite Italienne is extremely famous from Stravinsky's work, but this particular arrangement, I think, is almost never performed. Usually, we hear it either in the original ballet symphonic format or for violin and piano, sometimes for cello and piano. It spawned so many different arrangements, including this one that I came across a few years ago by Gregor Piatigorsky for violin and cello. He recorded it once with Yasha Heifetz. I don't know how much they concertized with it, and the parts aren't really anywhere published that you can find. I ended up having to ask somebody to make a transcription from the one existing
recording.
Really?
That hard to find. Are there any special effects going on in this?
I will say you could definitely, as performers, feel that it's coming from symphonic music because it's terrifically difficult and extremely thick texture for something that only has two voices, which is maybe why we didn't see more records of Pianogorsky and Heifetz performing it.
And I also like that, you know, this is taken from a lot of Baroque inspiration of music, and it kind of seems like Baroque music with a shot of caffeine or like a shot of espresso. You know, there's like a bit of electricity in there, which I think is a really unique sound to Stravinsky.
Yeah, great combination of two centuries, two different centuries. And we'll be hearing Introduction, Serenata, and Minuet and Finale from the Suite Italienne by Stravinsky, arranged by Gregor Pianogorsky.
Thank you.
Three movements from the Suite Italienne by Igor Stravinsky, arranged by cellist Gregor Piatigorsky. That was the introduction, serenata, and just now the minuet and finale from the Suite Italienne, as performed live in our Buck studio this Tuesday afternoon by Anita Graf and Julian Graf, and they were cello for Julian, or for Anita, and violin for Julian this time around, though sometimes the instruments vary from one performance to the next. And we'll be hearing more from them, and I'll have a quiz question for you, too, in about 7 or 8 minutes. All of it after this here on WPR. And we're back now. This time we'll be hearing from another 20th century composer. You could say maybe a 20th century composer without the 18th century influence, but there were some of those older influences on the music of Maurice Ravel.
So this is one of our favorite pieces to perform, even though, again, we only brought crazy difficult pieces today. But this piece is almost opposite, I think, in mood and tenor from the Stravinsky that we just shared. No less ferocious, but it really kind of strips away, in Ravel's own words, aspects of like harmony and rhythm in order to create something that kind of reminds me of a really fine Swiss watch, where it seems so smooth and seamless on the outside, but once you start to look inside, it's incredibly intricate and precise. And with most of the duets that we perform, it usually takes the form of like two beautiful lines that intersect and complement each other. Whereas with this piece, it really feels like it's made for one entity that just happens to be split between two instruments.
And we'll be splitting this sonata by Ravel. We'll hear the first two movements, and then we'll have the quiz question, and then we'll get to the other two movements, starting with fast and faster, you might say. Allegro and very fast.
Thank you.
You had to get some visuals there. Unfortunately, radio has some limitations there regarding the conveying of expressions between sister and brother at the end of that set of movements from the Sonata for Violin and Cello by Maurice Ravel. We'll hear the other two movements and also get to our quiz question right after this here on WPR. Yesterday's quiz question went like this. From our music department, the sequence of 24 was arranged by a general and was soon used by the opposing forces. A question suitable for Memorial Day, too. And that would be the sequence of 24 notes in Taps, which was, in fact, arranged by General Daniel Butterfield. In 1862, and was quickly picked up by the Confederates as well as the Union forces. That was yesterday's question, and here's today's. Some Spanish-speaking countries hold these competitions, but they're much more challenging in English-speaking countries. What kind of competitions are we talking about? Some Spanish-speaking countries hold these competitions, but they're much more challenging in English-speaking countries. Identify what kind of competition we're talking about in the next 20 minutes, and maybe you'll win the prize today. And you can email your answer to us the usual way at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. And as usual, we'll see who wins our prize from among our correct respondents just before 1 o'clock, after some more live music from our Buck studio here and our annual guests from the Tallgrass Chamber Music Festival, Anita Graff, cello, and Julian Graff, violin. And we have some unfinished business or pleasure, which is to say the other two movements of the Ravel, and beginning with the slow movement. Does that make it any easier for you after all that galloping?
You would think, but then none of the intervals really make any sense on the cello. But it's got its own kind of groove in a way. I really do love this piece. It's just like a problem child. I actually wanted to talk a little bit before we finish the piece just about what we have coming up this season at Tallgrass. As the artistic director, it's always a real privilege and a pleasure to be able to choose the music that we share with audiences and the incredible artists that come visit us each year. So, like Julian said, this is our fourth season, and we've grown just a bit every single year. So this is will actually be the most artists we've ever had on campus. We have 17 musicians coming, plus jazz musicians, across the entire 2 weeks of programming. And as Julian mentioned, our first week is particularly special as it's dedicated to our celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. And so we have kind of a couple of fun chamber music programs coming up that have their own subtitles. On June 19th, our opening night concert is subtitled American Stories, where we will hear from primarily American composers or composers inspired by visits to America, including some works and compositional voices that you maybe wouldn't necessarily expect to hear. We have a suite of works by Duke Ellington arranged for string quartet, as well as a piece, Six American Painters, about the intersection of visual art and music by Wisconsin's own John Harbison. We'll also be premiering a new arrangement of Aaron Copland's Old American Songs, Volume 1, heard here for mezzo-soprano and string quartet. So we're really excited about that. Subsequently, our Sunday concert the first week on the 21st is inspired by America's most musical founding father, Thomas Jefferson. Subtitled Jefferson's Playlist, I kind of imagined what we might hear had he worked as artistic director here. And so we feature several works that were popular with Jefferson during his time. For those of you who aren't familiar, he was a huge aficionado of classical music. He collected instruments, he played the violin and a little bit of the cello. He collected music. At one point, in my research, I found that he even tried to commission Mozart to write something for his wife, but it sort of fell apart when they didn't get along very well.
That's a story that kind of goes back and forth as to whether it really happened
the
or
veracity.
Didn't.
Yeah. Sure. But I like to think that it's clear that music was integrally important to his life.
Very much so.
And so we'll hear from composers like Joseph Haydn, and we'll be performing J.S. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 5, which will be the most musicians we've ever had on stage at Tallgrass, as well as works that kind of take a tongue-in-cheek nod to this period of history in America, like John Adams' Shaker Loops. We'll also hear from a very little-known composer who actually signed the Declaration of Independence, Francis Hopkinson, who, in addition to being a musician and a lawyer, was also one of our founding fathers. So we'll be hearing from him in his works for harpsichord and voice, as well as John Corigliano's three Irish folk songs, as Jefferson was a huge fan for Celtic music.
There you go. You get the rundown. And again, you can go to the Tallgrass website and find all that in writing. Committed to it now. And so slow and fast with a lively interpretation, let's just put it that way. The third and fourth final movements of the Sonata for Violin and Cello by Ravel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you didn't make it easy on yourselves today, did you? We're hearing live music in our Buck studio this Tuesday afternoon with Anita Graff, cello, and Julian Graff, violin. That was the final two movements of the sonata for violin and cello by Maurice Ravel, Slowly and Fast and Lively would be the translations of those two movements. And is this a fairly new piece to you, or have you played it a lot?
The Ravel, we've been doing pretty much through the entire 2025-2026 season, but as you can tell, being brother and sister, we've had about 3 decades to learn it and maybe put it off until this past year. So you can tell what a monolith of a piece it is, but it's been kind of a dream come true to finally sink our teeth into it.
Yeah, it's certainly worth the effort, too. So much going on in there, and so much excitement and different techniques.
Yeah, it's lots of fun to play. I always think of the second movement as kind of like a goblin dance a little bit. And then
sure.
and then the final movement is, again, a little bit dance-like. It's a little, you know, fun to play. I should mention while we're here, this is our first year at Tallgrass. We're doing community masterclasses for anyone from across Wisconsin who wants to learn from our wonderful musicians who come in from all over. And you can find out about that on our website, tallgrassfestival.org. And if you sign up, it's free to attend, and it's free for anybody to sit in and watch as well. I just wanted to mention our two non-classical highlights this year. We are having for our first week, we're having a Brazilian guitarist doing bossa nova. And then we have a wonderful jazz quintet on the second week coming out from Chicago that we're really excited about.
You've got one more fast one for us today.
We do. We stole this Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach presto from his keyboard works. But we have found that so many of the Bach family's two-voice keyboard works work really well for violin and cello and are just kind of a joy to play. So this is something that we've been using as an encore here and there. And just lastly, I would just like to say an immense thank you on both of our behalves for having us year after year here to promote Tallgrass. It's been incredibly, just the impact I can't really even describe of what it's meant to be able to bring an emerging chamber music festival to a statewide audience. And we've so appreciated your friendship and your support these past 4 years. And we're looking forward to what the next chapter brings, and just want to congratulate you on both of our behalves on your retirement and the culmination of all your work here at WPR.
Thank you. And now this presto by C.P.E. Bach. Thank you. Very atmospheric, too. C.P.E. Bach, Presto in C minor. Anita and Julian Graff, my guests today in our Buck studio. Our quiz question for today went like this. Some Spanish-speaking countries hold these competitions, but they're much more challenging in English-speaking countries. That, of course, would have to be a spelling bee, although those strange English language spellings, courtesy of, the rather wayward history of orthography and, I guess you could say, warfare in England in the olden times. Spelling bees is our answer. Our winner today is Kathy Miner from Madison, and we have an address and an email, so we'll send the prize. It's this $25 gift certificate from the Bruce Company. Help you to get outdoors and enjoy. And speaking of enjoyment, we'd like to thank those who have helped to make this broadcast possible today. That would be our engineer, Brad Kohlberg, Ava Karagian in our broadcast studio, and thanks also to Amanda for answering your quiz responses. There's more music with Lori after the latest stories in the news from NPR.